Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's Midday Magazine for Wednesday, the 25th of November, 2020. I'm Joe Vicnicki with the local news. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has denied a permit for the proposed Pebble Mine, a project that fishermen and tribes in the Bristol Bay region have been fighting for more than a decade. The Corps says it determined that Pebble's plan does not comply with the Clean Water Act guidelines and that the project is not in the public interest. Pebble Limited Partnership says it's not giving up on the project, which would have been one of North America's largest open-pit mines. The company says it's focusing on a possible appeal of the agency's decision. For now, though, the decision appears to be a death blow for the mine. The incoming Biden administration is likely to oppose the project, as the Obama administration did. The decision thrills a coalition of conservationists, native organizations, and fishermen that say the mine would threaten the salmon-rich streams that feed Bristol Bay. Petersburg Chamber of Commerce has helped host a downtown tree lighting event for the past 30 years. The annual tree lighting will be happening again on Friday with some COVID protocols in place. Chamber of Commerce has worked with the Emergency Operations Center to come up with a different kind of event that requires masking and social distancing of 6 feet between family pods. There's not a parade this year, but there will be two back-to-back tree lightings with outdoor food vendors. Mindy Lopez is director of the Chamber of Commerce and spoke with KFSK's Angela Denning about the details for Friday.
This year, it's going to look way different in the sense that we will not be having a parade because we cannot guarantee that 6 foot distancing that needs to happen between pods. So the plan for this year is that everyone will meet at the Christmas tree and we'll have a stage, and we'll have two showings this year. We'll have a 5:30 showing and we'll have a 6:30 showing. The goal behind these two showings is so everyone can stay within their family pod and they can spread out within that parking lot right in front of the tree and out on the street as well. A few things that we are requesting of people to do is when they come to stay within their pod, and we have elves and volunteers and helpers to go around and hand out all the goodies that we have in store for everyone, which is 18-inch LED wands that have three light settings on for the kids. We have some Christmas balloons that we're going to hand out along with candy canes and a few glow sticks, as well as candles for our candlelight ceremony. With that, all of our helpers and volunteers, as well as our food vendors, will be screened beforehand, temperature taken, questions asked, just so it can bring that sense of, okay, everyone's good to go. And all of our helpers will have gloves on when they pass things out. That way, it's just not a whole bunch of hands touching everything when we pass them out. It is very exciting this year. We have a few characters that are going to be visiting us, and so that's super exciting. And Santa will be in town as well. So it's going to be a really fun time that we can come together, even in the middle of a pandemic, and still be able to enjoy but keep our boundaries as well during this time. We do have food vendors this year. This is also new for this year. We have asked all of our food vendors to pre-package everything so it doesn't cause clusters of lines. They can come, they can pay and leave immediately. So that's exciting. We have a few shops that are going to be open, and we want to encourage people to go to the shops as well, to the businesses. They're going to have a few drawings that you can enter your name and just go tell them thank you as well. Because again, this is on behalf of the chamber and the businesses, the Christmas tree lighting. And then also I'm going to have some stations throughout the entire event that's going to have hand sanitizer, wipes, mask available. This is a masking event, so we do ask that everyone to mask up for this event. You know, continue to practice 6 feet distancing, stay within your family pod, but most of all, in all this, have fun too. This is going to be probably our first event that we've been able to do. Well, it is our first event that we're able to do as a chamber for this year. And so if everyone can just work together, We've been at this for 8-9 months, so if we can continue just to work together to create a safe place for everyone to come and be a part of, and Petersburg is awesome with this, and we've been doing great, and so if we can just continue to keep that up, I think that everything's going to be pretty cool.
Great. Thanks so much for all of that great information. Mindy, you mentioned there's kind of two events at 5:30 and at 6:30. Does it matter which one people choose?
I planned for 200 people, and it would be nice to have a showing for 100 each. How are we going to know how many? Because we didn't do sign-ups or tickets or anything like that. So we're just asking, you know, find the time that works best for your family and choose that. And again, if we can just keep things in mind of things that we're asking for event requests, I think we can manage each showing very well.
So, Mindy, for someone who might not know what the event is in Petersburg, say if they're new to town, how would you describe tree lighting?
You know, I think to describe the tree lighting is the most wonderful time of the year. It's a time where people can come together and, you know, do a candle ceremony, visit with one another. It's a really great time to bring in the Christmas holiday and cheer.
That's Mindy Lopez, Director of the Chamber of Commerce. Timeline has food vendors opening at 5 on Friday in the afternoon. Families gathering at 5:15 for the first lighting, and gifts will be handed out then. First tree lighting at 5:30, lights turned off at around 6:15 for the second lighting, and that happens at 6:30. And Lopez reminds people they shouldn't attend if they've had symptoms or were exposed to COVID-19 within the past 2 weeks. If people have traveled in from out of state, they should follow EOC and borough requirements for travel and quarantine and testing. Power cord and extension cord were damaged in a fire on board a fishing boat in Petersburg's South Harbor Monday afternoon. Fire was noticed on a chest freezer plugged into an extension cord on the upper deck of the fishing vessel Aleutian Dream just before 3:40 in the afternoon on Monday. Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department spokesman David Berg says staffers with the Harbor Department responded and had electrical power turned off, which extinguished the fire. Volunteers were told to stand down before getting to the scene. Petersburg High School's varsity volleyball team finished as runner-up at the regional tournament in Kluok and Craig last Friday. The Vikings won their first match against Kluok and then lost in 3 games to Craig in the championship match. I spoke with head coach Jamie Cabral about the final matches of the season.
We saw the weather system coming up on Saturday, and we're going, I don't think we would go if that weather system came out perfect as what we thought, and Friday was a lot better. So we were able to move it to Friday, get our one-day tournament in, and it worked out as best as possible.
Games were in, Kluok or...?
Both places, actually. We utilized 2 gyms, one in Kluok, one in Craig. That way we had less crossover of individuals. So built that into our mitigation plan to have 2 facilities going at one time. But our first game was against Kluok in Kluok, and that one was a 2 out of 3 set, and Petersburg ended up winning in 2, 25-14, 25-18. And then as soon as that game was done, we jumped in the van and headed over to Craig for our championship match there, which is a 3 out of 5, and got over to Craig and just kind of couldn't really find our rhythm, had a lot of unforced errors in game 1, but was still within 2 points beating Craig. And game 2, had them on the ropes with game point, couldn't put that final point through, but ended up losing in 3 over to Craig. But Craig's well-disciplined team, really good serving team, could pass real well, a lot of state experience on that team as well, the defending state champs. So, but our girls played fantastic as best they could with quite the morning and early morning for that too. But went good as could be.
Who on your team had a good tournament?
Oh man, a lot of them had a really good tournament against Kluok. Sage Johnston and Kaili Simbahan passed so well. And Julie Olson running the offense. Both of our middles, Ines Larson and Kennedy Conn, had a great game against both Kluok and Craig. And then I would say Allie Davis did a great job passing and serving throughout the weekend. And then against Craig, we just couldn't really get our first contacts really going to be solidified, our serving and our passing. But Keeley played great defense in the back row, Juliosen running an offense, and our offensive system just really couldn't get in the groove. But they did great blocking, great defense, good transition times, and what a game it was. But our seniors did fantastic, Sage and Allie and Julie. And then our middles did a great job, too, Ines and Kennedy blocking-wise. But fantastic job. And then we had our setter work with Sarissa Miller and Julie, our two right sides, who work really well together. Had a great tournament.
Were there any individual honors handed out or anything?
We'll find out later this week who our all-conference selections will be. We're doing that all virtually. We didn't have an award ceremony. As soon as the game was done, it was head on out of there. And our three seniors got all academic that we had. It was Sage, Allie, and Julie Olson, cumulative 3.0 GPA or higher. And just for seniors, that award is. So kudos to them for being really good students as well as good individuals and good volleyball players. But yeah, we'll find out who our all-conference are later this week.
Okay, and that wraps up the season for you, right?
Yep, that season is complete. At least we know we would have gone to state if there was a state tournament. Us and Craig would have been representing in our first time back since winning the state championship in 2017. And just grateful that we actually had somewhat of a season, even though it was reduced drastically from what we anticipated. We got more games than we ever thought we would do. So, but the kids are just happy that they're still in school and got somewhat of a season out of it.
And high school basketball is up next, but doesn't start until January 11th after the holiday break. The state yesterday reported another 13 deaths tied to the coronavirus and 583 new infections. That's the largest number of deaths reported in a single day since the pandemic began in the state. And it comes as the number of infections in Alaska continues to swell, threatening to overwhelm the state's healthcare system. The State Department of Health and Social Services says 5 of 13 deaths are recent. The rest are being reported following the review of death certificates. Most of the 13 Alaskans were in their 60s or older. One was a man in his 30s. Several of the deaths involved rural residents. Since March, a total of 115 Alaskans have now died from coronavirus. Number of hospitalizations tied to the virus also continues to rise. We have a correction to our story this week on COVID-19 cases here in Petersburg. The total case count for the community since the start of the pandemic is 34. That includes 21 residents and 13 non-residents. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention increased the severity of its warning against cruise ship travel. The level 4 warning is the agency's strongest recommendation against cruise travel. It means there's a, quote, very high level of COVID-19 aboard cruise ships and that all people should avoid cruise travel worldwide. The increase comes a month after the CDC lifted its 7-month ban on cruise ship travel and released its plan for the industry to resume safely. The cruise industry creates tens of thousands of jobs in Alaska and was anticipated to generate hundreds of millions of dollars in spending in the state this year. Cruising has been suspended since mid-March, and the closure of Canada's ports is among the reasons that Alaska's cruise season was canceled this year. That closure remains in effect until at least February. KFSK has an open airwaves policy. We encourage the public to express personal opinions, ideas, and creative works, which will be available on our website, kfsk.org, following their scheduled radio broadcast. Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. Following a commentary submitted for broadcast by Jeff Mucci.
Happy Thanksgiving. What a great day to celebrate what we're thankful for. Hi, this is Jeff Mucci. Over the last several months, Petersburg has been on quite a roller coaster ride, the likes of which this community has never seen before. Between the COVID pandemic, a poor fishing season with low prices, and differences of opinions on many things that have strained friendships and relationships, I'm here to share with you what I'm thankful for. My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. No presents, just great food. Besides the other traditional holiday of Valentine's Day, for me the Thanksgiving holiday is all about being thankful. I'm very thankful for my family and my health. I'm very thankful for having a pretty good life, a great group of friends, and I'm very thankful for living in a community with some very dedicated individuals. In these challenging times, I'm thankful to be living on a small island in the middle of the rainforest, surrounded by some of the most beautiful scenery on the planet. I'm thankful for my family, friends, and community members who I see less than I would like to these days. I'm thankful for this great community I live and work in. I'm thankful for living in a community with residents who are passionate about their feelings and opinions. I'm thankful for being fortunate to live in a community that I care deeply about. As we sort out how to navigate the holidays, please take a moment and give thanks for how good we really have it here in Petersburg. We can return to the drama of life next week. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, one clarification about last week. Playing Christmas music the week before Thanksgiving is really a party foul. Thank you for your time, and go Vikings.
The commentary you've just heard, submitted for broadcast by Jeff Mucci. KFSK encourages the public expression of personal opinions, ideas, and creative works. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. For information, please call General Manager Tom Abbott at 772-3808. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. I'm Joe Vicnicki, and this is our weekly weather check-in with the National Weather Service in Juneau, joined online today by Kimberly Vaughn, who is Observation Program Leader with the National Weather Service in Juneau. And today is the 25th of November, 2020. Hi, Kimberly.
Hello there.
Well, what's in the news for weather this week for the Petersburg area?
Well, if you've looked outside, it's looking kind of wet. And the thing with this, we've got a weather system coming in, and with it, we're going to bring in some shower activity. And even though we're pretty much thinking it's going to be liquid-type precipitation, rain showers, some of the heavier showers could turn over and give us a little bit of some snow during those heavier showers. But because everything's wet, temperatures are going to stay relatively warm for this time of year. There won't really be any accumulation to that snow.
So far, this area has mostly dodged the snow shoveling bullet. But I know up north, they've been getting some good snowfalls.
Yes, Haynes particularly. In fact, Haynes yesterday came in with, at Haynes Custom, of just over 12 inches in 24 hours.
Oh, wow, okay, all right. Well, what do we have coming up for later this week?
Well, for that's kind of was the showers, potential with some rain or snow showers for Thanksgiving. But the good news is if you want to get out there and work off some of that turkey, Friday is looking partly cloudy. So do expect some potential for some icy conditions as temperatures should drop overnight, both that night and potentially depending on cloud cover the next night. So just be careful as you go out walking around the glaze that may form. But yeah, hopefully you can get out there and enjoy some of the sunshine that should show up on Friday. Unfortunately, we have another system coming in, and with that on Saturday, we're looking for kind of a mix of rain and snow showers. Again, mainly the snow should be overnight, early morning. Temperature should be in the next, over the weekend, kind of mid-30s to even near 40. So daytime temperatures should keep it wet enough and warm enough that there shouldn't be any shoveling involved. But keep in mind the heavier showers could produce a little bit of some snow.
And that system on the weekend looks like it brings with it some pretty strong winds.
It does. You know, it is fall time, although we kind of think of this as more winter time in Alaska, but it is considered still fall. And those fall storms do come in with a lot of wind. It's very common to have these increased winds come with these systems. And that's actually what made the 1984 Thanksgiving storm so powerful and so damaging.
What was that storm like? What did you see in your records?
I was not here in Juneau when that happened, but there's a great article on our webpage. If you actually just do Thanksgiving storm 1984, Juneau, Alaska, or even Petersburg, Alaska, you'll see the article on our webpage for some good reading there. But the thing was that it was, the storm itself certainly has very strong winds, but what made it so damaging and powerful, especially to the Sitka area, was that the timing of the storm came in at about the same time as one of the highest tides of the year. So like Juneau was like 23 foot tides. I think Sitka had something like 12 foot tides. So with that, you have the increased winds, and then you have the increase with the tides, and it just made for very damaging conditions, especially for right on the coast locations.
Okay. Anything else we missed for this week?
No. You know, I was looking over your guys' snowfall for the last few days, and, you know, nothing really exciting there. You know, for this time of year, it's not uncommon not to have snow on the ground, but, you know, we keep getting a little bit of snow. And then we're just not keeping the cold enough temperatures to keep the snow.
Thanks for checking in, Kimberly. We'll talk to you again next week at this time.
Great. Thank you.
And these weather segments air Wednesdays on Midday Magazine. You can also find them archived on our website, kfsk.org. For local news, I'm Joe Vicknicki. And coming up on KFSK, we have Street Beat Music with Leo Luzak, your host, this afternoon, followed by The High Country at 2:30 with Tom Walsh and Sarah Fine. At 4 o'clock, All Things Considered with local news and updated weather at 4:30. Alaska News Nightly on at 6 tonight, followed by Ebb Tide Music at 6:30 with Chelsea Tremblay. At 9 o'clock, Acoustic Accents with Bud Johnson. And 10 o'clock, The World Cafe, followed at midnight by the BBC World Service, broadcast live from London. Weather and messages are next.
Now is the planning time for college and applying for financial aid. At University of Alaska Southeast, support is offered at every step of the way, from filing the FAFSA application to what to expect next fall. UAS are experts at affordability and convenience, offering scholarships and classes both on campus and online. Spring schedule is available online now at uas.alaska.edu.
38 degrees outside the KFSK studios at the moment. The updated forecast for the rest of today, chance of rain, highs in the mid-30s, southeast winds to 10 miles an hour. And rain tonight may be heavy at times, lows in the mid-30s with winds out of the southeast to 10 miles an hour. Rain showers for tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, highs around 40 with light winds. And there's a chance of snow showers tomorrow night, lows around 30, winds out of the south to 10 miles an hour. And as you just heard, partly cloudy forecast for Friday with highs in the mid-30s and light winds. Chance of snow showers Friday night, lows in the 20s. Snow and rain forecast for Saturday, highs in the mid-30s. And snow and rain mixing right through the weekend, Saturday into Tuesday, turning to all rain by Tuesday. We'll see highs warming up to the mid-40s by next Tuesday, lows overnight in the mid-30s. Here's the marine forecast. A weak stalled front across the northeast Gulf dissipates by today at midday, and a storm force front tracks east to the central Gulf this afternoon and into the Panhandle by tonight. Tomorrow, low pressure develops over the Canadian Yukon with a ridge of high pressure across the eastern Gulf. Stevens Passage, small craft advisory this evening through tonight. Northeast winds today 10 knots, becoming southeast 20 knots, gusting to 40 this afternoon. Out of interior passes, gusting to 35, and seas 2 feet or less, building to 4 feet. For tonight, southeast 30 knot winds, gusting to 45, seas 6 feet. By tomorrow, southeast 20 knot winds, gusting to 35, except 40 knots out of interior passes, seas 4 feet. And Thursday night, southeast 15-knot winds, seas 3 feet. Southern Chatham Strait small craft advisory this evening through late tonight. Light winds today becoming southerly 15 knots, gusting to 35 by the afternoon. Seas 2 feet or less, building to 3 feet. Near ocean entrances, seas 10 feet. By tonight, winds out of the south, 30 knots and gusting to 45, seas 6 feet except 13 feet near ocean entrances. By tomorrow, southwest 15-knot winds, 3-foot seas except 13 feet near ocean entrances. And by tomorrow night, winds out of the southeast, 15 knots, seas 3 feet except 11 feet near ocean entrances.